Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. This your boy Brandon.
Hey, yo, this your boy Sam.
Yo, man, it's BC week. We're just coming off a great win. Let's talk about it, man. But before we do, rate, review, subscribe. Click the subscribe button on YouTube, Twitter. If you're on there, follow the page. Man, like, we keep saying it, and we keep adding a few followers at a time, man. But make sure you're telling everybody, hey, I fuck with the podcast. I appreciate them guys, man. Go check it out. And then, you know, and then we'll tell them to follow, like, subscribe. There's not a platform that I don't think we on right now. Spotify, Apple, YouTube, episodes on Twitter, Facebook page. You know, we constantly posting that. So, listen, wherever y'all see us, man, we appreciate it. Give us a follow. Give us a like. And tell us what you think. Yeah, but Sam,
what's up, man? You still riding high for off the Miami win? You still riding high?
I probably didn't watch that 4th and 14 play 55 times. It's been tweeted and retweeted every single day, and every single day I watch it at least 2 or 3 times. So yeah. It's actually kept me going. But I've tried to come down just so I can give like some sort of objective opinion on BC. Yeah. Because, you know, the fan in me is like, oh man, it's BC, dog. We're gonna beat them. You know what I mean? But the analyst in me says, pump your brakes a little bit.
Probably
a little
closer than you think.
Right.
That was pretty cool. Jordan Travis with NIL T-shirt man. I thought that was pretty cool, man.
So, I love the idea. Man, get paid, young man, get paid. So
yeah,
you know,
please,
what I mean,
go out and support that, man. Go out and support his NIL, man. He's selling some T-shirts saying 4th and 14, man. So I think everybody should get out and support that. You know, buy a shirt, buy two, buy three. It's the best way we can to actually pay players. You know what I'm saying?
The man's etched in history. I don't think you can do no wrong, in my opinion. You know what I mean? After the 4th and 14, I told Parchman can slow throw on all the routes, and I'm going to still be like, hey, man, Parchman made that 4th and 14 catch. He kind of etched himself in a good position as well. But And then apparently, and maybe this should have happened earlier, but, you know, we've heard it's been his best week of practice. So,
That's awesome. That's good to know.
Maybe that's what it took for him to kind of, you know, feel the love, the electricity, let him know, hey, I really can. Because from an upside standpoint, he does have the biggest upside on my team. So,
What I'm about to say. Oh, I know what I'm about to say. You know, I'm kind of pissed because I'm like, damn, they really would have settled on the quarterback a lot earlier. You know what I'm saying? I think they would have been a lot further along in the passing game and everything. So, you know, but it is what it is at this point. But I am happy to see that they kind of starting to come together. And you hear a lot of good things coming out of the recruiting-wise. It's looking like recruiting kind of taking off a little bit. And you got a little, especially with the big three, you got a lot of these, a lot of influx going on.
Yep.
So you got an opportunity to probably take advantage of
the same thing we were talking about. You can negatively recruit Florida State, but now we in pole position. Dan Mullen has apparently got high odds to be fired, and Manny Diaz, even if they keep him, it ain't because they want him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see. So, I was trying to get Wig on here, because Wig was the one that, you know, hit us with all this Lane Kiffin news about a month ago?
Okay, so.
We're going to go ahead and go. We're going to talk about BC, but let's go ahead and just get into the coaching carousel.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into the coaching carousel.
Yeah.
Yeah, BC, in my opinion, I think is also going to be quick. But in my opinion, so Wig gave us a call. He'll usually hit, like, whenever he got, like, real good information, Wig would give us a call and be like, yo, I got this information. And we sat on it. You know what I mean? Me and him talked about it. Me and Wig talked about it. But now at this point, he had already tweeted about it. So I imagine he feels pretty good. But he came to us and he said, if Miami job becomes open, Lane Kiffin going to take that job.
Yeah.
And I said, when me and him called, because he called us separate, when I talked to Sam, I told Sam, I was like, man, I told that man, no way. No way possible. There's, why would he give that up to go there? And he made a compelling argument, not from like my perspective, but I guess what his people were saying. You know, essentially just he loves the lifestyle, he loves the atmosphere, and he's the perfect type and style of coach for Miami. He's gonna, you know, he feeds off the negativity like the Miami fans. They want the negative. So in my opinion, it's like,
he got the troll to him
the way Miami does. Like, he fits the Miami culture. We talk about a lot of times just the idea of, okay, can this guy coach or not? But even more important is fit. He fits Miami more than I think any other coach I can think of, because you need somebody who don't care, who buys into it, who understands the stigma, and is saying, good, I embrace that. Like, I want the smoke. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so as a coach, I think it's scary, because not only is he I think he's a really good offensive coach, he's a real good recruiter. So what I told Wig, I say, if in fact he gets Lane Kiffin, and the other guy I was told would more than likely be his D coordinator, it's gonna be real.
That'll be his D line coach.
My you don't think he'll be the D coordinator?
No, I think he'll be the D line coach. I'm not gonna get into that speculation yet. I'm gonna hold back on that.
Yeah, we can hold. We held off on the rest of it. We can hold off on that.
Yeah, we'll hold off on that. But who I think they're gonna get for their D line coach paired with Lane, what I think he'll bring in. I think that'll make Miami pretty damn scary.
Especially when it comes to getting players.
But you know what I do think, though? I think it'll make it really good for the state of Florida altogether, because, you know, a rising tide, you know, rise all boats. You know what I'm saying? So I do think if Miami got better, Florida State would get into a rush to get better, then Florida would get into a rush to get better, because you don't want to be getting lapped by your rivals. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing that gets you up out of here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that always turn the tide. So, you know, I am curious, though. I'm curious about what Florida's going to do, because I do think Mullen's going to get fired. I think Florida State is going to beat Florida. I think they're going to beat Florida.
Yeah, cast out the bag. I believe Florida's a dumpster fire. I think they lose this week and next week.
Okay. Yeah, and I think he get fired. If they lose this week, I think he gets fired. I think he announced that he's fired.
And he'll let him coach Florida
Monday,
State.
And he'll coach Florida State. That'll be his last game, because I think he's done. So that'll be two pretty big jobs open in the state of Florida, man. That's, you know what's crazy, though, dude? If you think about this, before the season, we talking about these games, right? And I was like, I don't see how you can beat Miami, BC, Florida in that three-game stretch. But then we was like, well, it's still early. Crazy things can happen. You know, like, college football changes so damn fast, dude. Like, and I think about when Jimbo left, we was on top of the world the year before. We was like, man, Miami's never going to beat us. You know, we still bringing in top classes. We like, Miami never going to beat us. We had unblocked the kick. We like, we coming back with a better team the next year. We're going to play Alabama the first game. And all that shit just went to hell in a handbasket. Then you look at Florida. In Miami coming into the year, Miami bring pretty much all their whole team back, the same staff back. They play Bama. You're thinking they're going to win at least 9-10 games. They should make it to the ACC championship game this year. And that shit just snowballs, and it's just bad.
now they
fire the AD. They fire Manny. And then you look at Florida, you're thinking, I came into the year thinking, well, Florida would fill a top-10 offense. And that started off that way. And then it just snowballed on them. You know what I'm saying? And now they're finna fire their coach. It's like, this is like, it's crazy, dude. It's just crazy how college football just, within months, that shit just flips. Like, everything you thought in the offseason ain't even true when you get to the season. Like, it ain't true. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy how that goes.
Bro, I was on the Twitter spaces with TJ, and he was like, well, you know, do y'all think y'all gonna make any culture changes? And I was like, I never would have thought I would have said this 3 weeks ago, but nah, I bring everybody back.
See, you would. I still wouldn't, but I know you probably would.
I would keep everybody, just on a continuity standpoint. Whether we believe in Adam Fuller or not, last season I thought they weren't listening to him. They were doing their own thing.
Well, no, I think you should keep
Adam Fuller. And it was also in Rome's scheme. I think who would you fire then if you keep it fuller then who else getting fired besides special teams coach?
Well, I would probably find two people to fire and add me two good recruiters, because you're gonna need them. You're gonna need you some dogs now on the trail. If what happened at Miami is what I think is gonna happen at Miami, and what I think is gonna happen at Florida happens at Florida, you're gonna need some dog recruiters. You know what I'm saying? So I would relieve two people of their job. One of them would probably be Ron Dugans. The other one would probably be, I think I probably would remove Marv. Or you know what, you can keep Dugan, but you gotta get rid of Thompson, Chris Thompson.
They ain't gonna get rid of Dugan.
I'm telling you what I would.
Oh, okay. Do. Okay. I think they've done enough, and especially if they win the next two games, then I think they've done enough to say for Mike Neville to say, I'm not changing nobody on my staff. And honestly, I wouldn't be mad about it.
No, I mean, you wouldn't be mad about it. But
what I'm saying is that's the difference when we're talking about like how the seasons go and the ebbs and flows of it. Like a week ago, we would have never said, I mean, if they don't make no changes, I ain't gonna be mad about it. Like we would have all been like, if you don't do nothing else, you better get rid of Adam Fuller. So the fact that he got me and you basically saying, nah, I keep Fuller. Shows you how crazy college football is. You know what I mean? Because again, it wouldn't have been that. But I give credit where credit is due. I will not lie to y'all. If I think it's hot, I'm gonna tell you it's hot. And if I think it's not, it's not. And in my opinion, either Fuller has adapted to this group very well, or Fuller is on the job training and getting better by all the people around him. Don't know which one it is. I'm just telling you.
Well, I think the staff is getting better because I think they got a better idea of their personnel, right? So I actually think the staff is coaching better, right?
It's coaching better. Which is what
we were saying in the beginning when everybody kept talking about analytics. We were like, those analytics are great, but we know for a fact they're not coaching well. They're not coaching their players well. They're not putting them in the right position. They have evaluated properly where to put these guys at now and where they play best at, and now they're playing better. And I think a lot of what Fuller's problem was, defensive back-wise, I do think moving those young guys in and putting Robinson in a safety position, you know, that deep safety, changed a lot, right?
So I was just going to say that. The biggest move that says to me was we're playing our biggest game. It's our rival. I'm going out here with freshman. I'm going out here with Robinson. I'm going out here with Cooper.
Right.
We've seen enough of 7 and 27. Like, we've seen enough of these dudes. Mm-hmm. Ain't no point in us out here trotting these guys out. Excuse me. Also making the move, Akeem Dent to safety.
Well, he was already at safety, but they thought – well, he – they honestly, I'm going to be honest with you.
They had him in coverage. He was in coverage a lot.
Sidney Williams.
I know he was technically a safety.
Sidney Williams, they really miss. That dude, he does fit what Fuller wants to do with his safety, right? So they really miss Sidney Williams. But I think Akeem Dennis playing better because he's at that position. He's done it now for what? 2 years now almost.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. So at this point, as a coach, it appears as if you developed, and one of the things I said on the last podcast, I'm going to say again, when you're playing your best football at the back half of the season, that's what we ask our coaches to do. That's exactly what we ask our teams to be, playing their best football at the back half of the season. Now, again, if it could all go out the window. They can go out there and get 30-0 to Boston College. I don't think this team will. I don't believe they had that in them. But it can change. But I don't believe it will. Like I would be more shocked if they went out there and got 30 to Boston College than if they won. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Yeah, I'll be more surprised at that. And I don't think. Matter of fact, I know for a fact I wouldn't have said that in the past. I'd be like, oh, it's very well possible.
Well, I think you keep Fuller. I still wouldn't. But I think you can keep Fuller. Keep those guys in the same scheme for another year. Mm-hmm. I do, but you need to find some recruiters, man. One or two guys.
Them off field guys are making up for stuff though.
Yeah, but we're finna go through a landscape change. You're gonna need all dogs on deck. You know what I'm saying?
If what happens, you're 1,000% correct. I'm talking more for what they got going on today. I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm rooting like hell for Lane Kiffin not to be in Miami. Like, I don't care what Ole Miss has to pay him or offer him, how many people they want to, you know what I mean, give. Like, hey, you got a staff of 45, like, whatever it is, give him that Mel Tucker deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, That's what lets the coach know, all right, we serious. And Ole Miss ain't really out of the realm of winning the championship. They were real close when they were cheating last time. Real close to when they were cheating last time. Didn't they beat Bama?
Yeah, but they still lost like three games that year.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, I mean, I'm gonna get to these questions.
I'm gonna get to these questions a little bit later, y'all. While everybody's here, man, make sure y'all, you know, hit the like button. You know, I'm gonna get to these questions. I know y'all throwing a lot of stuff right now in the comments. I'm gonna get to them a little bit later. But I think Lane, from everything everybody keeps saying, dude, he don't want to live in Mississippi. And, you know, and being the only job that would worry me, to be honest with you, would be LSU, right? So I think he fits at LSU too. I think he fits at LSU too. So, but we'll see.
I don't think he do. You know, the people in LSU, like them country folk.
New Orleans ain't too far away from there.
New Orleans is country folk. Like, I get what you're saying. It's a tourist attraction.
But Lane's trying to party. See, Burbank, he can go to South Burbank Beach.
Street is one street. Yeah. Miami is Miami. I've been to Miami. There's some duck-offs in Miami. If you go, it's some spots in Miami where you can run into something you ain't expect to run into on a random Tuesday. That ain't happening in New Orleans. You know where you're going to find the people.
Yeah.
You're going to South Beach. You got a couple restaurants down there where you can meet, you know what I mean? Like, it's different. But in New Orleans, but that's just Bourbon Street. I think he'd be like, nah, I can get low.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I watched the Jeffrey Epstein documentary. You know what I mean?
He want to be able to duck off. Like, Lane want to be able to duck off and do what he wanted to do.
Them dudes had police in their living room. And them boys had police in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it is.
I hear you. I'm not saying it's not a 24-hour party. I'm saying that party is centralized. That party is centralized to Bourbon Street. Miami is a big city. You can make Fort Lauderdale is only 45 minutes away, and that's a whole new city. And it's just as loose as Miami. I'm just trying to tell you. Now, again, this don't got. I promise you, I'm not putting down New Orleans. I'm just telling you. In my opinion, I think. Matter of fact, it ain't matter what I think. Lane Kiffin wants to live in Miami because he enjoys the Miami lifestyle. That's what we know.
Right.
Well, but, who you here from Florida, though?
He got a house in Boca, huh?
Oh.
I'm not saying that yet. I'm not saying that.
Who would you be least excited to get if they got him? Like, which one, as an FSU fan, you would be like,
like, if they, so I do still get the feeling that James Franklin's gonna leave Penn State.
He's going to USC though.
See, I don't think he's going to USC.
He going to USC.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I think that deal was done like the week after. I watched him press conference right after it was over. I mean, the world is wild, man. People can do anything at any point in time. You never really know. You know what I mean? Like, he be going up. You know what I mean? It wasn't, you know, everybody was like, so you going to USC or not? I've been to California a few times, but I mean.
So I think Florida probably get somebody like, I don't know, man. It's going to be weird, man. It's going to be weird. Because I don't think the AD at Florida wants to fire Dan Mullen. But he's lost power there because
I was gonna say scandal. I was gonna say he don't have no choice.
He don't lost power because of that scandal. The scandal has kind of made him lose power in the athletic department. Plus, the Boosters is now kind of like fucking tired of Dan Mullen. So it's like they're gonna fire him. It's just, who do you get? You know, Billy Napier is still out there, but somebody was like saying that job might be too big for Billy. Maybe he need to step down below that. You know, but I think they're gonna get a good coach. I just
do you.
Yeah, I think Florida's gonna get a good coach. Man.
I think Florida's a tough job.
That is a tough job. These jobs are like that now, though. You only getting 5 years now at these jobs, man. That's why people keep saying, how long is this coach gonna stay? I'm like, dude, if your coach
gonna stay until they don't want you no more.
Basically, bro. You gonna stay there, they're gonna love you, like, and then they're gonna hate you. Then it's like 4 years, 5 years now. And it used to be you better get 10 years.
Right. You only got a couple years for them to not like you. So if you hot, you better stay hot. The moment they don't like you, you got 2 years because now we making decisions. Like,
yeah.
That's how it is. So I'm glad, boy, Novell was getting real close to that line and teetering on the edge. And now, okay, it looks like they like him at the right time. Because now you're going in the next season on cloud nine.
Novell was never going anywhere this year. This next year is going to be, well, not next year. The year after, in my opinion, going to be the year that he was talking about it.
Me and you disagree on that. I think if he had finished with 3 wins and none of the rivals,
I mean, everything,
and a loss to Jacksonville State, I think everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table if he'd have won 3 games this year. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And that's where it was looking. So that's what, when I say, you know, it's a possibility. Hey, listen, man, it don't matter. LSU getting Joe Brady. I think that's a done deal. We ain't got to talk about that.
You think Joe Brady going back? I don't think that's happening. I don't think Joe going back to the college.
I think they're going to offer that man head coach NFL money, which they are. And he going to be like, well, I can go here. And again, you don't pull players from Louisiana. Yeah. One thing we know for 1,000% certainty, if they are in the state of Louisiana, they're going to Louisiana State University.
Yeah, if you want them. you can get them. Yeah.
Like, you getting who you want in Louisiana. So, in my opinion, I think he said the pathway to that championship ain't difficult. We got a 2-3 team schedule. We win these three, we can win.
Yeah, that
was
Riley,
they rather the LSU. They ain't gonna like that. That's not what they like in LSU.
Well, yeah, but I do think it's legit that he's a legit candidate, and I think I don't know if he'll take that job. If I was him, I would take that job though. I would go from Oklahoma to LSU.
It'll almost be as bad as taking that Texas job. I don't know who the fuck. Who took that dog from Texas job? Who coached for the
Tom Herman?
No, man. Anyway, it's a bad fit. All I'm saying, I can't think about it now.
You think Riley a bad fit at LSU?
I do. I think Riley's style ain't Louisiana. What made Ed Orgeron so great was he is Louisiana. Like, Charlie Strong. Thank you, brother. Boy, he's can't have mouth for nothing.
Charlie Strong was a disaster at Texas.
But what I'm saying was he never should have went. Like, he was a disaster before he ever stepped foot on campus. And so that's what I'm saying.
He should have waited for that Miami job.
We don't disagree. I'm just telling you, I think Lincoln Riley steps foot in as the city slicker.
Man, Riley will win a national championship at LSU in 3 years, and he'll be in the NFL in by year four, year five.
Look at their last 3 or 4 coaches. All of them felt a whole lot different than Lincoln Riley. That's all I'm going to say.
Mills just made a great point. Look at that. Saban nor Miles was Louisiana. Bro, they're going to win championships.
Man, but they also, you know what I'm talking about. Are Saban nor Miles, are they Lincoln Riley? I wish I had my green screen up. I'll put up a picture of Lincoln Riley.
Man, please. But anyway.
All I'm saying is just look at the dude. The dude don't look like. Jimbo's name is Jimbo.
Yeah.
Do they want the city boy?
Yeah.
To take over in Louisiana around a bunch. He got to still recruit and talk to those, not the people giving the money in Louisiana regardless. But you get what I'm saying.
All right, I'm getting some of these questions before we get to the FSU little part because we got like another 20 minutes. Question. Make sure y'all like the pod. Make sure y'all hit the like button on the pod also. Clawson, Fickell, Riley out of Gainesville or Riley. Fickell, see, that's another name. Fickell's another name that I keep forgetting about. But Dave Clawson, I think Dave Clawson's Jim Grobe. I think he's a guy that's going to be at Wake Forest until he retires, dude. You know, I don't know if he want to. Some people just want to coach college football and be left alone, man.
How much you making, right? Like, you look at it, right? You say, I don't have no expectation. I can lose here. I can win here. As long as these kids graduating and I don't have no scandals, I could be here for the rest of my life making $2 million a year. I'm straight.
Yeah.
Or I can go get fired next, you know what I mean? Or I can go get fired in 2 seasons because I'm a disaster over at Florida.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good on that.
Yeah. Okay, another question was, I forgot. It wasn't a question. It was a statement. It was about Papuchis. You keep Papuchis because he's a good recruiter. I mean, he is a good recruiter. Now, some of these guys he don't recruit got to develop. Some of these DNs got to develop. But, I mean, the defensive ends are playing. I mean, they transfers, but they're playing good.
The transfers are playing good.
The special teams
are there. Fuller, the limited time we saw him, which I'm glad it's limited this year. I know he would probably want to play more, but at the end of the day, he's playing behind two damn good, you know, defense ends. So he'll take those lumps.
Yeah.
I mean, Quayshon Fuller in the limited time we saw him looked like he had improved or taken another step. So if he takes another step next year, I would keep it pushing.
I ain't gonna lie though, if I was FSU, I'd go hire that guy, Luke Pascha from UMass, Walt Bell's brother, at a wide receiver coach, and let him coach my special team, because he do a damn good job coaching special team. He was good at North Carolina. He good at UMass coaching special team. So that's a guy, if you want to make a move, and he can recruit too, that's a guy I would go look at. But, you know, I don't know if they'll do some shit like that, but that's some shit I would do. You know, that way I can get Ron Dukes off my staff and maybe get somebody that can develop wide receivers. But, yeah, I mean, the defensive ends are playing pretty good. I don't see why would anybody have a problem with Papuchas other than, I mean – Mike Norvell is supposed to be a special teams guy too, so he got to take some of that blame too.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say, if he's not doing a good job, then take it back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I don't think Sarkisian's actually doing. I don't think he wishes he didn't take the Texas job. I think that this is his first year. You got to get some guys out of there. You got to evaluate your situation. You know what I'm saying? We'll see what Stark is next year, because sometimes the first year can be a little bumpy when you're trying to establish a culture and establish a mindset and establish the way you want to do things. I'm going to hold judgment out on Stark for right now. That's my opinion on Stark.
I don't got
it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, I ain't got nothing on that. I agree. I was reading comments. But somebody asked, what's that, Corey? What's up with Demore Tate?
Probably never going to play here.
I was going to say, like, nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so we have not heard his name. Nobody mentions him. Nobody talks about him on podcast.
He's practicing on the practice squad, dude.
Okay, so he's not playing. So he's not playing. Like, again, I don't know what he did to who and when.
He got hurt.
Yeah, but he can't, like, what was his injury?
The stars don't matter when you
I ain't talking about the stars. I understand that. But, again, there's a few guys who you look at the tape and say, you know what I mean? This dude is pretty close to can't miss. All right, all right, he get hurt. All right, but you don't hear about him. It's not the fact that, you know what I mean? It's not the fact that he not playing. It's not the fact that he hurt. Right. It's that you don't even hear, like, the beat who actually works, they don't ask about him. You don't hear about, like, every time we hear about something, it's like off chat.
Because he's running with the scout team. He's on.
But you would think somebody would say, you got a real talented dude on your squad. What's up with him? You know what I mean? Like, how's his rehab going?
Yeah,
don't hear his name.
I don't think he's going to play here. That's just my opinion.
But I guess my question is, why? Like, what? Okay, it don't matter.
I mean, when he got hurt, it probably stunted his development. You know, shit like that happens all the time. It really does. It happens like that all the time.
Yep.
So, I mean, doing a scout team, I mean, shit, what y'all want the man to do? Who y'all want him to play in front of? Amari Cooper? Who y'all want him to play in front of?
I can't say I want him to play in front of nobody. Here's the problem. He see what's coming in, and he
that's
basically
what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. So I agree with you. He never gonna play. Yeah,
Travis probably never gonna play here.
You never gonna play here. Yeah, them dudes gonna be here. Then you ain't. Yeah. You can play with some mop-up duty.
And they
get
Earl Little. I mean, that's
a
probably
wrap.
A wrap. Yeah, you that's probably don't play him. So, yeah, you know, that is what it is. So let's get to the BC.
Switch the running back or something. But anyway,
yeah, let's get to BC, man. Let's get to BC. How you feeling about the BC game? Because we got like 15 minutes left. How you feeling about BC?
So, honestly, I felt great about it before their quarterback came back. But then their quarterback comes back. Then their quarterback come back last week.
Yeah.
And he actually looks good. So now it's like, okay, this Adam Fuller defense, we know, and I hate to say this, but I think we could drop him from whatever let's say they would have scored, I thought they would have scored 28. Mm-hmm. I'm probably deduct them. So I'm going to say 24, right? Like, I think Florida State's defense may be able to get enough stops, turnovers, interceptions, or whatever it is to be able to say, to take away the fact that I give him three scores and a field goal. You know what I'm saying? And so, okay, if I believe Florida State can hold him to 24 points, I don't believe Boston College, even though because of their injuries on defense, especially the linebacker, I do not believe they can hold Florida State to under 24. So, in my opinion, I'm going to say 35-24 Florida State.
35-24 Florida State?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. I'm going to say, man, Phil Jakovic is really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good, man. Like, so I was watching.
What happens when you don't have 6 seconds to throw the football?
When he first came back, I was thinking to myself, well, he still can't throw the football because of his hand. You know, he had hurt his hand. So he couldn't throw the football. So the first night I watched him, he was just running. But the thing about it was, I didn't realize he was that damn fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he's athletic.
Yeah, he's fast. So I was like, damn, they running speed. Because they were running the same offense basically that Florida State run with Jordan Travis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, damn, I didn't know he was this fast. Because every time I watched him, he was just kind of always throwing in front of pocket. You know, he'll do a little zone read here and there. And he moved the football up and down the field, and he could only do one thing. So then I watched him against Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech's not good.
I was just going to say, it's hard to evaluate against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech's not good. But then against Georgia Tech, though, it seemed like now his hand is back better. So now the ball is actually coming out of his hand a lot quicker, a lot faster. And I was like, damn, this dude, I mean, I was like, damn, this is going to be really tough because he's going to put the ball in places early and often that he's not going to be afraid. You know what I'm saying? I felt like Van Dyke got rattled because he is young.
Yep.
And he was in a tough environment. I don't think Phil Jakovic is going to get rattled. I don't think you're going to rattle him. So I think you hitting him is not going to rattle him. And also, he's fast. So you got to – he's going to put the linebackers in a lot of conflict, right?
So if you see Travis Sloan's comment, that's going to be my response. I'm just telling you. I think that's the game plan.
Yeah. But I think the difference is you're playing against a coach that, while BC is not great talent-wise, BC is way better coach than the last two coaches than Manny, and way better than Mack Brown situation. Yeah.
But
so what BC will do
only, but coaching only if the talent gap is the same. Coaching, in my opinion.
You think we got that much more talent than BC? I don't think we're that much different.
I think in certain positions we do.
I think the D-line – I think we win the game, right? But I think we win the game 24-21 because I think it's going to be low scoring, right? And I think the thing about BC –
But why though? I guess my question is, why don't you believe we'll be able to score?
Because we're going
to
start off slow. Because we're going to start slow, right?
Why will we start slow? Again, our game plan
– Because the emotional of what you dealt with Miami, you're going to – take that emotion. You got to bring that again into another game, and it might take you a quarter in that cold ass weather to get going.
It's only, I mean, again, I want to say only 45.
Well, I'm saying we start slow.
45 on 12.
I'm saying we start slow on offense. I'm not saying we start slow on defense. I'm saying on offense we start slow.
Yeah, I mean, again, I hear you. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I don't think they start slow on offense. Like I think they do. I think defense plays well early, as they tend to do, but because they don't have any depth, they give up points late. So in my opinion, I look at it and I say, I think Florida State does really well early, like maybe 14-0 or something like that at halftime, right? Because in my opinion, or 14-3, because in my opinion, I say, offensively, what we want to do is the exact same thing we wanted to do against Miami that worked well because they didn't have linebackers, and the same thing that worked against North Carolina.
Right.
So now, all right, well, I think we're going to be able to score. Not necessarily at will because they're going to be fundamentally sound, but you're going to be able to get some plays on them, right? So now you get up to an early lead. Your defense is absolutely going to slow them down. If nothing else, they're going to slow them down early.
Right.
Right? And so I think you're going to halftime 14-3, you hang on. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to shut you out in the second half. I don't think we're that bad, but – you know, I think maybe not even 35-24, but I 28-24 maybe, take away a touchdown. But somewhere, again, in my opinion, it's either – no, I'm going to stick with it. I think they score five, including one maybe on special teams or, you know, short field, pick six, something like that.
Okay. I think it's 21-24, so we'll see. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
I do think we win, though. I think we win. I think we play Florida. I think we beat Florida. Florida fires Dan Mullen. Yep. If we go to a bowl game, possibly we could possibly win the bowl game. That puts you almost at 7 wins.
With six wins, you're gonna be playing somebody you should be favored in beating, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, you should be favored. You should be favored in beating the team if you got six. If you 6-6 from talent wise,
I gotta be honest with you, Brian. I don't. You know, I'm not really big on like Disney Hollywood stories and stuff. I don't. You know. So.
How they may rally around would be.
Yeah, I don't even know if they even know Whip even played for Florida State. Who knows, bro?
Brian, I'm assuming you're joking. Listen. Hold on. I'm gonna take what Brian said. If they somehow rally around Woodby, and that propels them to beat Florida State, I'm gonna star as Woodby in the movie. Like, that's how far fetched I think it. Like, I will go out and audition for the Woodby inspired. What would the name be called? Like, I think they would. Like, I mean, like, I don't understand. Yeah, boy, Brian say Woodby gonna inspire them, bro. Woodby inspired him, boy. I'm gonna go out here. I'm gonna be mad. Like, one of the Facebook pages midway through, like the third or fourth quarter when we was losing, changed their Facebook page to fire Mike Norvell.
Yeah.
And apparently Facebook won't let you change back. You know what I'm saying? Into whatever you want the name to be. So now for the next like 35 days, he got to be firing Mike Norvell after the win. He had to issue apology.
Yeah. Another thing, BC is also ranked number 22 in red zone defense. So, that's something else.
What's the best offense BC played this season?
I don't know, Randy. You know what? You know
I'm
what?
I'm looking at BC schedule.
I can see everybody's on a real, you know, high. So
no, bro. I told you.
But see, I don't want to get into this back and forth because then I come off like I'm the hater. You know what I'm saying?
Anytime no, you definitely the hater. You definitely.
It's like, oh man, hang on, Sam. He just won't let us live. You know what I'm saying?
I told you, you keep telling folks there don't be no Santa Claus, and I keep trying to tell you to stop saying that. That's the problem. It's not that. I've told you since we've known each other, I've told you, bro, you got to quit telling people there ain't no Santa Claus. So they fought off Colgate in the Raiders, right? UMass, the Fighting Walt Bells. In which they gave up 28 points.
They're not a good defense. Not a great defense.
Okay, so I'm done. I don't want to hear.
Now remember,
played Temple.
Okay, remember their quarterback got hurt. Now,
I'm just telling you.
I'm just saying the quarterback got hurt. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying the quarterback.
Then they played
hurt.
Temple. Then they played Missouri. Then they played Clemson, NC State, who rolled up 33. They played Louisville, who gave up 28. They played Syracuse.
They only gave up 28 in Louisville.
They gave up 21 in Syracuse. And they gave up 3 to Virginia Tech. So all I'm saying is, of those offenses, would our offense not be the best one outside of maybe, North Carolina State? They didn't even play Wake.
Not yet.
So you say North Carolina State, then us?
Hmm?
Who would you say is the best offense? What I'm saying is, I thought
Louisville is probably the best offense they played against.
Okay. They lost that one 28-14.
Right.
All I'm saying is, I think if you go in that same game plan that you did against North Carolina, if Sam Howell want to beat you, let him run all over the field. Keep him from throwing the ball, drop everybody. If he gets 8 yards on the third down, we'll live with it.
All right. But both of us got him winning.
We both definitely got him winning.
Okay.
Sam, I believe, is a little closer.
I think it's 24-21.
Win one for Woody. Is the name of the Woodby movie.
Win one for Woody. Y'all funny, man. Y'all are funny as app.
Win one for Woody. I promise you, I'm going to be so mad if somehow they come out, they win, and after the game, they hold the Woodby over their shoulders. Boy.
Hey, before we jump off, man, I just want to ask you a question, man.
Let's do this.
What's going on with your Lakers? Y'all done? I mean, we sticking forks in y'all. If we wait for LeBron to come back before y'all be done.
Period. I mean, you know what time it is.
Because I'm be honest with you. You know, the defense normally don't get better when LeBron come back. It usually get worse.
No. The defense ain't going to get better, but their scoring will get better. Like, right now, they don't have anybody who facilitates the offense. Like, here's the one thing about – he makes himself valuable, like, at every spot he goes to, right? Like, that's right. One thing about LeBron.
He
like,
makes himself overvalued.
This is going to only work if I'm in the middle of it. If y'all do it without me, y'all are going to look stupid. And so, basically, out there, looking stupid. And so, when LeBron come back, watch. They're roll off 12 straight. It's going to be like, dang, they done won 12 straight and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to be LeBron for MVP, and it's going to be that type of foolishness. So, all I'm saying is, it comes along with the territory. Like, they do this thing with, they do this thing with LeBron, man, where they, LeBron does this thing with his teams to where he makes himself, you know, I'm the key to this puzzle here. And it's been my problem with him for the longest, but it is what it is.
I think they done, bro. I think we can go ahead and stick a fork in him. And you know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I kind of thought when they got Russell Westbrook, first I like,
boy, this is the dumbest thing in the
world. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But then I thought about it, I'm like, well, damn. When they don't have LeBron, they don't have nobody to actually bring the ball down the court and facilitate and make things happen. So maybe they were thinking, I'm going to get Russ, and then if I get Russ, we can let Russ do this while LeBron take time off, right? I think our listeners are funny as shit. I got a text message
of would be dancing in the locker room from one of our listeners just like, it's a wild video, man. Our listeners funny, man. But I agree with you, man. Like, getting Westbrook was dumb. Because, again, as a person who will follow LeBron his whole career, surround that man with shooters. He going to drive. He's going to create lanes. He's going to make a layup or he kicking it out. Team's going to usually have good ball movement. And so you surround him with a bunch of 3-and-D guys, they can win it. Yeah. No talent, guys who can hit an open three, and play solid defense. That's what it was in Miami. It was LeBron, Wade, and a whole bunch of 3-and-D guys. Your job is to play good defense and hit the open three when I decide I'm passing to you.
They need to win about 10 for Bron because he old.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So now you need a whole squad full of whatever that ball headed dude was. We had all them threes in Miami whenever he was wide open. James Jones or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, man, find you a whole bunch of them dudes, man. And AD ain't no leader. AD ain't never was a leader. Ain't never been a leader. Ain't never been the number one guy. So people putting it on AD, it ain't AD. AD ain't going to all of a sudden be something that he not. He's a very talented player. But he looks a whole lot better when somebody else is in charge of the show. So AD, he start, you know, when LeBron come back, AD points will drop a little bit, but he'll be more efficient.
You think they're gonna be able to chase the Warriors down? I don't think nobody gonna beat the Warriors this year. The Warriors ain't even hit their strides yet.
With Curry playing the way Curry playing,
the Kamanje kid. And Draymond this year, Draymond actually looks better this year than he's looked in the last 3 or 4 years. He's actually hitting a three and he get 3 dunks now. I don't think nobody gonna beat the Warriors, bro. I don't think nobody beat the Warriors.
You're not getting that one out of me. You ain't gonna hear me say Draymond Green was playing.
Clay ain't came back yet.
Listen to me. I think Warriors gonna be real tough. And with Kyrie Irving on protest, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Kyrie Irving live on PTO, so, like, you know what I mean? Like, he using up all them days, and he ain't coming to save him. James Harden, I thought that clip with Bomani and Nick Wright, I thought that was like,
yeah, Jordan Poole, they back to being about 8 to 9 deep now, man. They got
That's what I'm saying. They got a whole bunch of guys. They don't rebuild it. They were dogging. My daddy was dogging Steve Kerr all sorts of last year because he a Warriors fan. Why can't they? I've seen them do right along 73-9. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like prime LeBron went 7. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see why they can't. And again, no, who gonna stop them? Like, When Steph is going, it's a problem. But when if Klay get back, Steph and Klay, it's a problem.
If you put Steph and Klay on the court with Wiggins, Poole, I mean, and then you got Draymond running the point, basically.
Chicago Bulls is that story we was talking about. The win one for Woody. I mean, Travis, that's the win one for Woody story, bro. Miami, like every year, the East does something like this, where one team comes out of nowhere, and he'd be like, "Dang, the Atlanta Hawks done won like 60 games and in first place, and then LeBron sweep them." Yeah. He'd be like, "Dang, Toronto Raptors, man, they got the best record. They gonna go all the way, and then LeBron sweep them." That's what Chicago is, except for they ain't like instead of LeBron there, KD is gonna be there. It's okay, they gonna sweep them. Like so we appreciate the Chicago Bulls showing up to this dance, but. I'm gonna be honest with you, dog. KD gonna have a field day with that there. It's just how it works in the playoffs, man. Like they ain't enough talent on there.
And my Bulls is getting things done this year. So I'm excited about my Bulls coming.
And we appreciate their contribution to the regular season this season.
Yeah, but we gonna be in the playoffs this year.
No, so y'all is, and y'all gonna get beat.
We're making the playoffs this year.
Y'all gonna get beat. Yeah,
we're gonna get beat in the first round.
Okay, all right. That's all I wanted you to acknowledge.
We going to the playoffs. That's where we going at.
Listen, the Lakers going to the playoffs, man.
Y'all got an outside chance. Y'all may not make it.
Listen.
All right, y'all. I'm finna bring y'all a recruiting expert in here, man. So. I know, Brandon, you can get off if you want, but I mean, I ain't know how long you want to stay. But I got a recruiting guy for y'all. Y'all can ask all your recruiting questions. The man, the myth, the legend. All I got to do is get this thing down. I'm sorry about that wig.
Hold on. Recruiting expert. Who you got coming up?
I got you up about a lot of these
This is the coaching expert. This is the one.
Hold on. I didn't know Brandon was here. Hold on. I got to get me a drink. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
All right. If I could get this damn thing down, Brandon.
Say he gotta go fix his drink. I'm finna go grab one too, man. If I can get out of here, I'm in my little. I'm kind of trapped in here, man. With his desk set up.
Now the show getting all loosey and goosey. Now everybody grabbing drinks now.
Let me tell you. First of all, I told you before we even got on here today. I keep telling y'all folks, we are a podcast of two people. So when something happened, we decide we're gonna give it to you. We're gonna give y'all content anyway. I took a Tylenol PM because I had a headache because work was stressful.
And now you're talking about drinking.
And yeah. And so now, and I was sleepy as hell. And I told her, I was like, let's get this podcast. If we're going to do it, we better do it now because I'm going to be gone in a minute. And then now he done brought in Wig. And Wig ain't do nothing for the talk. He ain't finna.
I
ain't even had time to get my drink because Wig already man, go ahead.
No, nah, man, I can put you down and let you go get your drink.
You good.
You got to go down the streets. You got to go down the street and get that Mad Dog shit. Mine right over there.
He know he can't be drinking like that. You don't get drink on Saturday, Brandon. What day is your girl let you drink on?
Nah, man, she let me drink, a few days out of the week.
He get a bit of drink them down, but most of she got ready for this weekend.
Listen, I got so many doggone, I got a pre-Thanksgiving this weekend. Lord have mercy. So now I got to go to Georgia with my family. I got a pre-Thanksgiving with my friend. I can't do it, bro.
I send my son, my mama, for the holidays, and I just sit to the house, I eat Chinese food, and drink alcohol and watch football, dog. I can't do all this. This it's too much family.
Nice haircut, Brandon. I ain't seen you in a while. Sam, I ain't never seen you again.
Well, first of all,
bro, see my tape up, bro. I'm gonna come out.
Don't you dare hold your head down like that no more. You make sure you keep your head. It look like I can tape your head up from behind you. So don't. Sam put me down. Sam showed up with a half a John Murray's in his head and thought I was gonna make him look like Trey Songz.
No, first of all, my bob was fucking up, right? And then this is the thing with Wig. We don't really want to wake up early in the morning, but he got early in the morning time slots. He be like, right. Man, you sure you're going to be there?
No. Correction. Wig don't like to have early morning clients that don't show up. That's the problem, Sam.
That happened one time, Wig, and I fell asleep when I got off of work.
He still kept cutting because Wig cut you off. All right,
if somebody pull hot grits on you, you can't say that was one time. Yeah, you burn up now.
You got a good point. Man, let's get into this football. Let's get some of this recruiting stuff, man. First of all, Wig, you hit us with the Miami stuff, about a month ago?
2 months.
2 months ago, yeah, about 2 months ago.
Get it right.
Okay. How you feeling about that right as we sit right here today?
So, look, the source I had on that is ironclad for a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, he was a guy that told me that that Peyton was decommitting from wherever he was committing, Nebraska, and was coming to FSU. And when I called Big Game that Sunday, he confirmed that he had heard the same thing. And sure enough, Peyton decommitted the next day and then committed to FSU the day or two after that. So it's putting two and two together. This don't have much to do with Miami as much as it has to do with Lane Kiffin loving South Florida.
Right.
He loves the lifestyle. He has a home in Boca, which ain't really that close to Coral Gables, but kind of, but not really. But
I've made the drive.
I'm in Mississippi.
He also will probably have access to a helicopter. So, you know.
So the thing you have to think about with Kiffin, everybody talks about Miami. We get this knowledge of budget and all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody talks about that stuff, you know, and it's true. There are some schools that are committed to financially and some schools aren't. Some schools can and others can't. Miami is a place where when they won the same way UNLV won. If you matter of fact, look at the 30 and 30 on UNLV and the 30 and 30 they had on Miami. It's almost the same thing. Yeah, it's like a town with a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And all of a sudden, these amateur athletes captivated everybody, including celebrities, right?
Right.
So it's very, very similar. And then they were both renegade teams with coaches who were kind of like, it's whatever. Yeah. You have to have the right kind of guy to thrive in that situation.
Right.
That's Kiffin's personality, goofy stuff.
Yeah, that's who he is.
And I'm going to tell you who loved him to death, the coaches in Dade County. And that's a huge thing. And the alumni. When my boy told me what he told me, and then 2 weeks later, Warren Sapp was on Twitter with an Ole Miss shirt on. I text both of y'all and say, I told you.
Yeah.
What is a Miami alumni with the way that those guys are yoked?
Yeah.
Guys from the U. They don't care about nobody else except guys from the U. Why on earth is he wearing an Ole Miss shirt out of anything? He was rooting for Ole Miss to win.
Yeah, that was against Bama. They're going to play Bama, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So my thing is you got to understand how those guys are yoked. How many of those guys, and I'm not saying they all going to chip in money, but how many of those guys, Lane Kiffin is liked in some places. Like if he there with you, if he on your side, you like him. If he on the other side, you don't.
Yeah.
He's loved down there.
Yeah.
With those coaches, the people, because, you know, a lot of people treat coaches that look like the guys in Miami, they treat them like trash, right? Like they think they're better. They treat Lane like trash. Lane might as well live in a trailer park or somewhere because he's just like him. I mean, he will be at home.
Right.
None of that silly stuff he does would be crazy. He's the perfect coach. I'm telling you, he's perfect.
He get the chain. He get the gold chain to rock around town.
Well, Lane might get a grill. Bro.
Yeah. Nah.
He's quirky enough to do that stuff. And that's because that situation doesn't have all the infrastructure that everybody wants. It's a perfect situation for a dude to say, I don't need an infrastructure. I'll beat you in a parking lot. That's how he's yoked.
So I was thinking about this infrastructure thing. And I was telling somebody, because they were saying, well, if they don't get Lane, who do you think they will get? And I told somebody, if I'm Miami, I think you should target an NFL type guy, a young NFL, somebody that don't give a shit about all that facility infrastructure shit. Because NFL guys kind of don't really care about that type of
shit. The danger in getting anybody else. And obviously, you know, you have to always keep your mind open on stuff like that. The only type of coach I would consider is one who's been fired for Miami, who's a good coach, who's just kind of who's been fired or who. Mm-hmm. But if you go get NFL guys like Joe Brady,
what about? OK,
like say you get Joe Brady, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Brady went 9 games the first year, then went 10 or 11 and he in the New Year's Bowl the next year. Mm-hmm. You know what Joe Brady about to do?
Oh, he's gone.
He's going to Southern California or LSU or Texas. Yeah. He ain't staying there. So it's almost like a match made in heaven with the type of guy he is, the personality,
right?
The fact that he loves South Florida. Doesn't hurt that he ain't married no more. You feel what you see where I'm going?
Yeah. It's lifestyle.
The only thing is Lane or a guy like if Kingsbury got fired, it's somebody like that. Or an African-American coach who get there and stay.
Yeah.
Who get there and stay. Just like a coach that.
What do you think about Ken Dorsey? If they made that, if they, you know, went down that road, Ken Dorsey. Quarterback coach at Buffalo. No,
I think that's it. You need more.
Don't have a swag.
No, you have to have a swag, but you also have to have. You have to. Lane has been in charge of four programs,
right?
And with the Raiders, he got a chance to see the trouble. Then he saw it again at SC after he left Tennessee. I think all of those things at some point, that's sand in his pocket. That's stuff that'll allow you to deal with anything and everything that might happen in Miami. Taggart will do well down there. I don't know if he'll ever win it, but Taggart would probably do well in South Florida. I'm not being facetious. I'm being dead serious.
I hear you, and I don't even disagree, but I'm telling you, they hire Williams Road Taggart.
Right.
Boy, they're gonna burn down that. I've seen the stadium.
You're right. You're right. I'm just saying, remember what I said, guy who's been fired.
Yeah.
African American who ain't looking to leave, who would be ingratiated in the community, who's willing to stay, and who won't use that as a stepping stone. I'm gonna tell y'all a story real quick. Well, a lot of people don't know who Bernard Wilkes is, right? Bernard Wilkes is a legendary basketball coach here in Jacksonville at Reball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the Corky Rogers of high school basketball in the state of Florida. He passed away as well. But Bernard was a friend of mine. He started out being somebody I looked up to, and then when I started getting older, I used to call him Coach Wilkes. He was like, call me Bernard. I would cut his hair occasionally, and then we, you know, would talk a lot. And I asked him, you ever tried for the JU job? He said, I did. I said, if you got it, man, that'd be good, man. You'd be there. You could probably win and just stay there. He said, no, if I win, I'm leaving. So you see how people think about jobs?
Right.
Stepping stone. He said, if I win, if I can go there and get JU in the tournament, Bernard Wilkes told me, if I get him in the tournament, somebody offer me a job, I'm gone. So you have to find somebody that would embrace what that is, accept it, and be able to make money like they got this, you know, NIL money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways Lane Kiffin can make money in South Florida.
For them kids, yeah.
For himself, if he wanted
to. Himself
too,
right. And for them kids. I think he'll do a bang-up job fundraising, especially with the alumni there, the former players that would, you know, the way them former players are with him. I mean, they love that NFL vibe that he got too.
I'll tell you a guy who would be good down there too. Bill O'Brien went to Penn State.
He did win in the middle of that Joe Pa stuff. Yeah, he did do that.
And did so good he got an NFL job.
See, I think he's gonna end up at USC a little bit.
But that's the same thing, California and Florida. But the thing is Bill O'Brien would be a good coach. By the way, Source told me this too. If James Franklin offered the SC job, he's smoking out of Penn State. He's gone.
Right. Yeah.
He's gone. So I think Bill O'Brien would be a good head coach anywhere in college. Because anybody who could have walked in that situation after Joe Powell when they was telling everybody y'all could leave and Cass left and would transfer without any hesitation. He got that thing all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He
said
that thing up. Yeah. It never sunk to the lows that Florida State has been the last 2 years.
No. He did a quick flip on that.
Look how long it took Baylor.
Yeah.
It didn't take Penn State that long at all.
No, it didn't. It was a good job by the time James Franklin took it. It was a good job. So let's get into some recruiting stuff, man. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday
recruiting? We talk every day. I call you and cuss you out every day about something.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's why when you had put on Twitter, my hot take is Sam is wrong. Like, that's not that hot. You said yes every day.
You know why I call you? Because Brandon don't answer the phone no more. I need somebody to vent. No, James and Denny told me yesterday, I vented to them, and they told me that my keto diet and my fasting is making me angry. So I need to go get me something to eat. Right? Say something wrong.
Get you some Popeyes, man.
What do you think about recruiting, Wade? Where you think we at? Because, I mean, it looked like we trending upwards. And I'm being honest with y'all. I don't know a lot about recruiters, so people have to tell me because I can't deal with these damn kids. They too goddamn – this is too much going on with these kids.
Playing time. What I told y'all a year ago when I came over here and was yelling about Jeff Sims, playing time is one thing. The other thing is they're getting close enough, and I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. They should have beat Jackson State. They would have beat Louisville had Travis played. They could have beat Notre Dame, right? Mm-hmm. So that's three. What's the record right now? 4-6?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, they could be 7-3, right?
Yeah, so they also could have beat NC State.
They could have beat NC State. You know what I'm saying? So I think what happens is the kids see that ain't no more 58 to threes. Right. There's no more 55 to whatever the Miami's. Mm-hmm. There's no Notre Dame running for 775 yards in the first quarter. You know, there's no – you see the improvement, and now a 5'4", five-star recruit sit there and goes, I can be the difference.
Right.
It'll work if they had better – if I was out there,
yeah,
it'll be different. Now, make no mistake about it, Travis Hunter has a lot to do with it. They say, oh, he going?
Yeah.
And he want to go too?
Yeah.
And the biggest games at home, Notre Dame and Miami, the place was full. The kids saw the true experience. And they saw the team fight, and they saw the team. They were like, man, I could do this. Right. They really saw what Tallahassee really is. And that's a testament to the fans, too, because I was wondering about the Miami game. Mm-hmm. I was so happy when I saw the stands full the other day for those kids, because that showed them that, man, we will be here if y'all show up.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to somebody talk about they went to Florida, Georgia. They had been to Alabama, Ole Miss. But they were saying this, there was nothing like Florida State Miami. They said the atmosphere was just different.
That's pure hatred.
They say, they say it was so much more electric, that the fact that he chose to bet on himself on those two weekends. Because I was talking to my pops about it, and I was like, I don't know if it's a good idea to put all your eggs in this one basket against Miami, and I think Miami may be better than you. Do you want to do that? But again, we saw it with Notre Dame, and now we see it again with Miami.
And you saw it last year against North Carolina at home.
Correct. Yeah. But the times when he feels like he has a good pulse of the team to say, I'm going to bet this one. This is the game that they're going to really show up. Because it's,
you know,
it's
something
big
else
life.
That made Tallahassee great, though, to be honest with you, especially talking about a college town, it ain't the day of a game, the day before a game. That Friday night, oh my God, dude. I mean,
and with fam,
With fam right there. I mean, that Friday night, dude, you 18-year-old kid, man, you can have a damn ball. Shit.
18. 52. Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
I ain't been back to Tallahassee since
we ain't
like,
talking
to
about
the
top club,
since we
ain't
it was the
about
moon.
Top flight life.
Well, let me be forthright and honest with all of y'all. I have been to one division college football game in my entire life.
Really?
Army, Navy, when I work for the radio station. Outside of that, because of my profession, I'm always working. And, you know, it's hard to spend $700 and miss out on $500. Right. You can just stay home and make the $500. And when you have responsibilities, and before with all the kids, but now it's just a matter of I'm kind of heading towards retirement. And I feel guilty sometimes about doing it. I already go international two or three times a year and go to D.C. and do other stuff. So I really just have to pick. I was going to go to the game in what was the last game? The game where everybody went to. Not the Miami game, but it was another. It might have been a Notre Dame game. I was going to go to the Notre Dame game.
Well, I know NC State was the game that was.
No, it was Notre Dame I was going to. Oh, and the Airbnb I thought I was going to get. Was $17,000 for one day. So I said, so I was like, it wasn't that much, but you know what I'm saying. I was like,
nah, them Tallahassee raise ain't no joke, but you
I
looked
and
thing,
I was
boy.
Like, I thought, I said, I had to go back and check the date I put in. I said, did I ask for a week? And they was like, look, I heard somebody go, uno, one day. And I was like, I will go spend $17 on some Tito's and I will go home. That's what I do.
So what you think about Marvin Jones Jr. and Earl Little? You think they coming? You think we get your pulse of it?
We get one and we probably gonna get the other. Here's the thing with Earl Little. He ain't scared of competition, but that kid, that corner that decommitted from USC is probably going to Alabama. Yeah. Denver Harris is going to Alabama. And then they got another dude that's a high four star that they want too. That's the thing about Alabama, man. They'll have a guy, like, for instance, I heard Sam McCall doesn't have a committable offer. And he's a five-star.
Right, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, that he has, he's like, okay, we might. And so that it might bode well that Earl Little has even mentioned the prospect of playing with Travis Hunter and with Sam McCall in the same. The one that I think we might actually get is Kamari. I got a strange feeling. I got a strange feeling because when you start looking at guys, like, first of all, it ain't done yet, but Tyree West is that's the NFL defense. That is Eddie Goldman. That is that guy. Okay, yeah. Make no mistake about it. But Georgia got two other DTs ranked ahead of him, and then they got two more that they're warm with, you know. And it's like, man, he made it sound like he was happy that he was number one on Florida State's board. It was like, they said, I'm number one on their board. And I think that makes him feel, you know, real special.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're another recruit and you see Travis Hunter and you see Tyree, and you're like, wait a minute now. Kevin Coleman.
Oh, Duffy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, wait, hold up now. Don't mention Duffy right now. I'm kind of mad at Duffy, but
yeah,
but
that Parsons kid ain't bad though.
Let
that
me tell
Parsons
you,
kid, look,
that, Parsons looks good.
Yeah,
but let me tell you, I will do backflips if they end up with Little, Jones, Kamara, and Kiwanta Goodman. If they get that 5-star tackle,
yeah,
everything's gonna start spinning now, and it's like, okay, so we cooking with hot grease. And we're gonna be able to line up. Now most of those dudes ain't gonna contribute that much next year, but then if they get a couple of transfers in, what you're gonna start seeing is competition stacked on top of competition. And that's what you wanna do. That's how you have to be.
You go into that 24 season with a legit shot to actually win the ACC.
Think about this.
Yeah.
Think about this. I think 23. Because that's something else.
I said 23, I think, yesterday.
They was this close to Clemson, bro. You get those kind of dudes, you're gonna beat Wake Forest.
Wake got a senior-laden team this year. They're going to lose a lot.
But I'm saying whoever that team is that's going to be like that, you're going to beat them. And you're getting closer to Clemson. You done beat North Carolina 2 years in a row. So the thing is in Miami, ain't no telling what they're going to have coaching-wise, and then they got about two people left in their recruit class. But
they get lame with TVD, but they got to find some wide receivers though, because they losing the wide receivers. But
and the other thing is if they get Lane, is late in the process, so he might be like Willie and Mike was their first year, just put together whatever you can.
Yeah.
But you start getting those big time guys like that, man, everything changes. And then I heard they really are doing well for 23. That the rumors I hear for 23 is off the chain. The thing that I like though is the productivity with the running backs.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Cam Akers. Now you see these other guys playing well. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of them. Toll Felix had his day. Douglas has had his moments. But then the two guys that's up front,
Corbin. Yeah.
So guess what that does? Now you got people saying that Javonte Barnes is really probably considering FSU because Oklahoma already signed two guys that's highly rated. They got a 4-star and a 5-star. So now Javonte Barnes, like, well, they got two. Alabama got two 5-stars.
Yeah.
Let me go to Florida State where they're using five guys and figuring it out. And Javonte Barnes is the closest thing on tape I've seen to Dalvin Cook.
So then you're talking about then if the best case scenario happens, you're talking about them going from what we were expecting to be a top 15 class to top 5?
I did the numbers, so you can go on that class calculator. Y'all did that before. You can go on that and add guys. Do the class calculator, and I'll tell you where it's at. So I ain't getting nobody no extra props, but you can do the class calculator where you can add kids. It got to the point where I was dropping kids off because if they flip DeMario Tolan and Besaint come, then now you got Omar Gooden. Then you ain't got to worry about Jerron Willis unless they're going to take four linebackers, and I doubt that they do it. You might get to the point where you get to the bottom and that tight end out of Virginia, you might start having to chip guys off of the class if they start getting these big dudes.
Get rid of all the hungry twos and threes.
But I ain't going to say that because look at Ward, though. Some of those guys are better.
I'm going to take my chances on that 5-star than that hungry 2 or 3 every time.
I know it, but here's where that messes you up. They go to all-star games, and then the dude, you remember Jaden Woody was a 5-star, and then all of a sudden you go to all-star games, he's a 4-star. And then some of the guys that you think is 3-stars, they go to either Under Armour or they go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then in the final rankings, they get bumped up because they went and showed out.
I ain't talking about the fringe guys. I'm talking about these. We've seen some of the guys that was, you know, we were talking about. We were going to recruit.
You know what
I'm saying? I'm talking about those guys. I'm not talking about the fringe guys or whatever. But we got some guys at the bottom of this class where we can say, you know, seeing you get your walking paper.
Right. So, or just tell them, hey, you can come, but it's going to be stiff. That's when guys leave. You don't just tell them bye. On signing day, they don't get no paperwork.
You get the talent in here, you let them decide who's going to leave and who's going to stay, but you get the talent in. You don't give a shit about people's feelings. You know what I'm saying? You stack the talent and you let that everything else, to, you know, that all that work out itself. I mean, you, I always tell people, they be talking about playing time and this and all that. I say, man, get players. Just put them in here and coach them up. That's the biggest part.
I've heard how that conversation goes on signing day when a kid has been committed the whole time.
Yeah.
And 2 days before signing day, he ain't hearing from nobody. And he make a phone call and say, look, we still like you, man. We prioritize you, but we got a lot of stuff going on, and I want you to make a choice for yourself whether it's going to be a good fit, because it's going to be a little crowded.
Yeah.
That's a recruit hear that? Y'all remember? All the time, yeah, you know what time it is. It's almost like, yeah, it's like, hey, man, or would you take a gray shirt or a preferred walk-on? What? And my mama just sent me to the store with a snap card last week, and you talk about I got to try to walk on and fill out for paperwork for this, and this other school going to give me all this money to come, and I'm the superstar at their school.
Right. Yeah. That's how you get these Florida guys at UCF and TCU
and Kentucky and Boston College and Missouri and Wake Forest.
Exactly,
you know
how
what I'm
you
saying?
In those situations.
But you know, we'll see, because I do think they've done a good job evaluating. To be honest with you, I think they've done I think they've done a good job recruiting. Personally, I think they've done a good job recruiting, because you have to put yourself in position to get these top players. You know what I'm saying? You can't just wait. Like this idea with Miami, with Manny and goddamn, what's the little idiot guy? Mullen, with this whole like, oh, we gonna evaluate later, we gonna do this later. You can't do that nowadays. Nah, man.
I've been hearing from a long time from that my source, and then another source I got about that Mullen situation, and they warned him, man, you gotta do differently. He ain't chasing no kids, and okay, you ain't gotta chase no kids. We'll chase them. You chase. Don't worry about it. We out there chasing them. So. Yeah. The thing is, here's something I want to say about Mike and them. And sometimes you got to fall back and really fall back. And I will say that I may have been wrong on it. So Mel Tucker having all his success early, right?
Right.
And that's cool. He's doing it with a kid that left Wake Forest at running back that might be an Heisman finalist, right?
Right.
Well, that kid wasn't going to play that much at Wake Forest. Or he probably thought, okay, I could go somewhere else. And you know, so sometimes just because things don't work in one place, it don't mean it don't work in another. Here's the thing that Mike and them impressed me with this year. And last year I thought they wasn't getting kids better. Akeem Dent, I'm glad we got him.
Right.
Is a real good free safety. McClendon has come around.
Right.
30, number 30.
Fuller.
Fuller has come around. Kalen.
Yeah. He's playing great.
Come around. So
The entire linebacker group has played really good.
Then this year with Cooper, the freshman, Omarion, okay, and the continued development of Brownlee. Right. So I look around the running backs, Ward.
Yeah.
So I look at these positions, and I'm like, wait a minute. And the big one, JT, George Travis.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and
you know
offensive
what?
Line, the guys on
you
offensive line have developed really well. Maurice Smith has been really good. I mean,
I still want Maurice Smith and that boy from the Panhandle 76.
Yeah,
I want to get some britches that fit tight, because I don't like when I look out there and their pants is baggy. They look like bus drivers by the time the third quarter comes. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just talking about for real. So I see players actually improving and competition, and it just make me feel like, damn, man, if we really gave him something to work with, these dudes might be all right. I even like Dilly, and I wasn't a Dilly fan. But, you know, the guy that everybody in the whole fan base owe an apology is Fuller. Fuller good, man, and especially Sam. Sam
is good. Hold on. I don't know about good.
He's solid, man.
Yeah, I would say solid.
I'm not going to go back and forth, because I do think he's done a great job these last
couple years. Done, and that's what I was going to say. I don't know if he's solid. I don't know if he's good. What I do know is he has gotten the most out of the group that he's working with.
So that means it took him long enough.
No. So watch this. Here's right. here's
if
what
you're getting the most out of your players. You,
here's
you,
here's
doing
what
good.
Could be true. Yeah, true. Here's what that's could true. Be true. Here's what could be true. They're good now, but when we criticize them, they weren't. Sometimes you actually do learn on the job. And
it's funny because I said that earlier.
Maybe they didn't walk in the door ready. Maybe this fire that they've been in has actually – maybe they learned something, and because they didn't get fired, and Florida State ain't an OJT job. Florida State, you need to come in the door ready to go, right?
Right.
But they didn't.
Maybe not, though.
But maybe what happened was y'all wasn't wrong. I wasn't wrong. But now they figured it out.
No, I think me and Will talked about this yesterday, and from the things I heard, like, Mike wants to be good, right? So he doesn't have a Mullen complex where Mullen's like, man, this is the way I'm going to do it. This is how it's going to be. Mike does take a lot of information from people around him that knows a little bit, that he believes knows more than him, right?
Yep.
You know, if you ever know, you will see a guy like a Derrick Brooks sitting on the sidelines, and mm-hmm. you know, and he calls guys, and he reminds me how Jason Garrett was early in his Cowboy career. You know, Jason Garrett around every damn body he could possibly be around to get as much information as possible. So I do think Mike has gotten better, right? And I think that's true. I think Randy Shannon, well, I don't think Randy Shannon is a great defensive coordinator. I think he's had a great common influence in that locker room with those kids, and he's been there to help support Fuller, right? So when people might come, like, and this is why I thought Willie's staff, it didn't work for Willie, because it was too many people with too many messages. But with them, when they come to Randy Shannon saying, hey, man, just trust what Fuller's asking you to do, right? And then he can, you know, piggyback off of Fuller. And sometimes having a staff together on message, and even if it's 0-4, even if you're 0-5, if that staff stays on message and nobody panics, eventually the kids say, okay, let's just do what they're asking us to do. And I think that's kind of what's happened, you know, and that's a credit to Mike, his organizational skills, mm-hmm. and the guys he brought in with him. Because I can tell you, a lot of staffs you put together, they go 0-4 like that, people start pointing some damn fingers. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, rats start, you know, getting off the ship. You know what I'm saying? Because people trying to, you know, worry about their job security. They've done a good job weathering the storm.
I like the fact that you don't see dumb penalties no more.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You might see an effort penalty, but you don't see dumb stuff. You don't see a dude get thrown out for targeting and get high-fived by coaches. And I'm being tongue-in-cheek here, but Willie and them was doomed because Willie had that whistle on his neck. I'm trying to...
Hey, you know,
we can break it down all day. We can talk about analytics. We can talk about all this stuff. I'm trying to tell you.
Is that whistle?
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's important that your staff stay together in tough times. Because another staff I was thinking about this too with mm-hmm. watching the Jaguars defense come together the way it's coming together, mm-hmm. it just shows you if you just stay on message, everybody just keep, you know, they say everybody get in the boat and start rowing together, eventually you could get better, man, if you got good players. So, you know, in the Jaguar defense has made a 360. Shit, I watched Jaguar play defense, I was like, damn. This defense like one of the top defenses in the NFL. Now they ain't gonna win shit, but the defense look better. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna see what Josh Allen do this week. Trent Williams. If he do it this week, we'll be like, okay.
I'm gonna tell you something. That's baptism over there.
I don't know if I'm gonna judge him off of this week. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how hard are we judging him? Like,
no, but you got curve, but you know what you gotta
judge,
do?
We judge him on a curve.
You know what you gotta do? He gonna beat you up all day. All you gotta do. Just get him one time.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's all right. Well, then, that's a curve.
A good pass rusher, you're not going to win. You're not going to win, bro, just like against a good
quarter. Yeah, but that's all I'm saying. It's a lot of guys who was real good who went up against Tony Baselli, and they just, you know what I mean? Like, I tried my best, coach, but I mean,
Just don't be.
I feel like we asking a lot.
Don't be on that highlight tape with him baptizing you. Just don't be that guy. That's where my boy is.
Yeah, my boy is that. If you don't end up on a reverse highlight, I'm going to be like, you know what? You did your thing.
Well, I thought Quentin Nelson was gonna put Tavian Brown on the damn highlight tape reel. If you watch
last year, Tavian handled that, and I'm gonna tell you, he handled them last year when they beat him here.
Because he was always so strong, though. Tavian Brown.
But I'm gonna tell you why. Quentin Nelson ain't no nuance to it. He trying to knock your teeth in. Yeah, and bro. If you stronger can deal with it, that's what. It's almost like Florida State, as bad as they've been over the years.
Yeah.
You know one thing they've been real good at? Goal line defense. You know why? Because it's me and you. It ain't no frills. You ain't getting
here. We gotta think about it. Ain't no coach got to call that. Yeah.
Now watch this. Give a joker the ball to let him fake this way and go the other way. The whole team gonna be over there. So you try to trick him, you'll get him. But I'm saying you ain't just gonna push him.
All right. So, Will, what's your thoughts on the BC game before we get out of here, man?
Tricky. I really want them to. I want them to not only step up during them big games like we were talking about.
Yeah.
I want them to go win this one. I want them to go win a game that people ain't really thinking. I don't want them to fall asleep. I don't want to fall asleep. And I do think the last couple of times they played these games, when they didn't have Travis, they fell asleep. But I think he has a little bit of Russell Wilson in him. I ain't talking about because he light skinned with curly hair. I'm just saying.
But I say here you go with it.
No. He's one of those dudes though that it seems like if you're gonna play kickball or if y'all at the beach playing volleyball, you'll pick him first.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like I want my brother-in-law. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He brings an energy though to this team.
He brings a sense of professionalism and a sense of not quitting. Mm-hmm. And a sense of the type of dude you want to marry your sister. You know what I'm saying?
It's the same guy. It's the same guy in Jermaine Johnson on the defensive side. You got one on each side of the ball. And that's, I think, has been the biggest improvement. You know what I'm saying? It's why I believe Parchman can come back from making a boneheaded play, in my opinion, to then making the play of your season for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, again, when you have this guy in your huddle, man, it makes a difference. It's real leadership.
So how many years does he have left?
Two.
So this is why Purdy left. Everybody think Purdy left because of Duffy. Everybody left because Purdy didn't see no path to playing.
Yeah.
Yep.
He left because of Duffy. And he also left because of Parson. I'm telling you. He left because of all of that. Purdy was like, man, let me get up out of here. I ain't going to get nothing. You know what I'm saying?
He was never going to play. He was never going to play. Like
you were career backup.
I ain't going to dump dirt in the kid.
I hope Roadrunner stay though. I do. I hope he stay and somebody get hurt and Roadrunner be a fifth-year senior and come in the game and light somebody ass up when somebody get hurt. I'm telling you, we need that in the program, man. I mean,
I think every program needs that, to be honest.
Everybody, because you know what they're going to get? His daddy
already know he going to be insurance sales or whatever it is. Like, so he, you know,
he'll be a G on some staff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in other words,
he'll be a grad assistant. Then he'll go back home and coach Lowndes or wherever he's from for 2 years, win a state championship, and then he'll be somebody's quarterback coach because he got a big time recruit on his team that's a quarterback, and he'll be a quarterback coach at a Power Five school.
Yeah,
it's just like if y'all look at Jeremy Pruitt's history, he coached that school out there in Alabama. You know what I'm saying? In high school, state championship, go be a defensive back coach. And now, you know, he's rolling along. He ain't rolling along, but he's up in New York as a senior analyst. But the thing is you saw the career path. So
that's the kind of
thing you can do. At some point, you got to have that talk with your kid, man. You ain't going to the league.
Yeah, man. Yeah. If you got a good staff that can teach you and show you how to be a good coach, sometimes you just stay there and just you know, keep learning, man. Do Florida State win against BC?
I'm saying yes. The only way they lose is if Travis get hurt. I think they win. I think the dude Brandon mentioned, Johnson, Kia Thomas. I just think there's a common effect, and then Lovett's gonna come back and be fully healthy. I think this week.
Right.
I just think with the way they're playing, like with that, they're not even the same team that played Jacksonville State. You know what I'm saying?
The trenches is monsters right now, and they got a confidence and a swagger that's tough because they know we beating y'all. You know what I mean? Jermaine Johnson got to be on 12 right now. He know. I don't care who y'all line up in front of me, I'm beating him.
Hey, Wick, Jermaine, somebody compared Jermaine Johnson to Kayvon Thibodeau, which I was like, that's not a good comparison. But is he a top 10 pick? Because I thought he was a top 25 pick last week.
I think he's a top 10 pick.
I don't think he's top 10 because when I look at the guys in the top 10, I don't put him there. So if he blows up the Senior Bowl, he could do what Phillips did at Miami, 18, 19.
He's not quite as long as a Phillips and a Thibodeau. That's what I was looking at. But he is
he's I don't know about his arm length, but the dude at the Senior Bowl that I follow, and by the way, I apply for credentials for the dude raving about him. The dude talks about his feet. Yeah. And the fact that he is 6'5". He's 6'5" legit. 6'5", 260. But those quick feet are gonna help him. That's what's gonna help him, man. So and you look at guys like teams love dudes like that. He's scheme versatile. He can put his hand down. He can stand up.
Yeah,
I could actually see him at the top of the second round coming to Jacksonville.
I feel like he's a good fit. I don't think he falls in the second round. I don't think he falls in the second round either. But I think
I don't either. I don't either. But there's been a lot of guys like Joe Tryon that fall to the top of the second round that we didn't expect. It depends on how the draft goes. So, it depends what they do. And even if it fall to the top of the second, somebody will sneak up in the back end of the first and snatch him up.
Grab him before Jackson.
Because when they start drafting, I'm going to tell you, y'all know that's my wheelhouse. When they start drafting, they'll go 1 year of solid production.
Yeah.
Somebody will go, why didn't he stay at Georgia if he was good? Like, that's stupid to say. But the thing is why didn't he stay at Georgia? I'll tell you, he got 7.5 sacks at Georgia last year as a backup.
No,
he wasn't just sitting on Georgia's bench.
I told somebody, I was like, I thought he would be good here. I did not think he was going to be that good. Like,
we talked about it, we disagreed. I told you, I thought he was.
I thought he would, too.
I said the way I watched him beat up on bad tackles, because at that point, you know what I mean? We had bad tackles. The way I watched him beat up on bad tackles in the spring game, so where the coach had to pull him out because we couldn't even see what they could do on offense, that's a disruptor.
I don't know why you would say he wouldn't be good, though. He got 7.5 sacks at Georgia. He left Georgia because they got 2 first-round picks playing in front of him.
It ain't that I didn't think he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be this good. Like, he has transformed that defense and that defensive line. Yeah. I thought he would be a guy that'll make plays, that I'd be like, okay, that guy pretty good. I thought he'd be like Robinson, how Robinson is. Like, Robinson's not bad.
He's way better.
I didn't and still
don't think he's as good as Burns, but he's more powerful. Burns is an athlete, though. Burns was all over the place, bro. I'm telling you, Burns doing that Spider-Man shit every week. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, Burns was like getting really double, but Burns was a slim, real quick guy. He has quickness, but he combines quickness and power, and motor. He has that. He's a motor dude.
Burns he's more of a tactician than what Burns was. He seems a little bit more refined than what Burns was to me.
I think he is.
Well, depends on what you mean. Like the second and third move, yeah. But that first,
yeah, that's
that
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But that first step, nah.
Because he turns, you watch Johnson turns power into finesse, and then sometimes he turns finesse into power. It's like he just kind of
you talk about the difference.
You watch him spin guys,
You know what? You know you describing,
but Khalil, not with a quick move.
You describing Khalil Mack. That's what you're describing.
Yeah, right.
It's a huge comparison. But I'm just saying what you're saying is, if you compare Khalil Mack in his prime to Von Miller was the poof guy.
Yeah,
edge, lanky. Khalil Mack was good, but it was more what you're talking about, the different stuff, the hands, almost like a karate, the continuous effort, the second, the third.
Yeah, yeah.
Vaughn was, you better put a dude over there because he about to go around this cat. That's what Burns was. And that's not really what Johnson is. Johnson is the kind of dude, he'll try to go around you, but if you're a superior athlete, he ain't going to go around you, but guess what he about to do?
His second and third move is man,
he'll redirect you, boy.
That was a hell of a find by Norvell, though. I got to give it to him. That was a hell of a find, man. That dude has been, I mean, he cemented his place, in my opinion, with FSU pass rushers, man. So, man, let me get out of here, man. We have to wrap again, man. I want to get some jab talk on him one day, but you know.
Yep. Oh, and last thing, Tildar wanted us to ask, man. BCU a fan?
Bethune a fan?
You asking me?
Yeah, asking you. I'm taking fam.
I'm going BC.
I'm gonna take BC because of CJ. I'm be honest with you. I don't know nothing about HBCUs like that. And look, I'm down for the cause. Look at me.
Yeah.
Don't question. Don't question Wig. I'm down for the cause. I ain't gonna even sit here and fake it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Wildcat.
I love him. I love him. I do. But I ain't got time to watch enough of the stuff that I'm supposed to watch. So I don't really be. Look, though. But don't get it twisted. All right? Yeah. I'm right there.
Oh, shit. You crazy, man.
Something wrong. All right, man. Y'all boys be easy, man. Sam, stay off Twitter talking all that noise, man. Stop making up shit to worry about.
I just be tweeting out a bunch of thoughts, and then people be like, I had a dude come, man, here you go with this Miami shit again today. Here you go. I'm like, dude, I'm not finna hire the coach, man. I'm just a guy.
You ain't got no influence on what they finna do in that huddle, but they swear.
My deal be filled. I'm like, bro, I'm not an AD. I'm just a guy with a 3-year-old.
y'all notice your boy rocking his gray these days, right?
I see that.
I see.
Joker told me I look like Bishop Greenleaf. Somebody, Joey said, I knew like Nene husband, man. I'm like, man, I got to get on out of here, man.
Oh, man, you definitely look like Greg.
This is why people don't have you on their show with.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Greg.
Rest in peace, Greg.
Can I shout out my podcast, man?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Go ahead, man. Please.
Locked on Jaguars, baby, daily, Monday through Friday, every day. Your team every day, free on all platforms, and Locked on NFL on Wednesday. You can check me out on YouTube too. Usually my eyes are more open than this, but you know, I'm having a good time right now. So, but check me out, man. We drop comprehensive Jaguar stuff every single day, and then on the NFL show every single Wednesday. I appreciate y'all, man. I love y'all boys to death, man.
All right, hey, man. It'll be great, man.
Love you too, bro.
Hey, all right, y'all check out that Lock On podcast, man, because we teach a lot about team building, man. He talk a lot about team building, man, and I learned a lot.
He know his draft stuff. Yeah, he definitely know his draft stuff.
Yeah, so definitely take it. If you like listening to this, any NFL coverage, he does a great job. Even though it's a Jaguar part, he talk about a lot of NFL teams, old NFL teams. He does a great job breaking all this stuff down. I can't say I got to stop praising him while he on his podcast. He's going to start thinking I like him and shit.
No, I appreciate y'all doing that, but I'm not paying either one of y'all that money I owe you, so you can stop all. All right, man, I'm out of here, man.
All right, man.
All right. Yo, man. All right, man. Listen, rate, review, subscribe, man. This is the Listen Up Podcast. We out.
You just heard the Listen Up Podcast. Yep.